to live in light of heaven. And Larry Smith is going to come and share the word for us today. Would you welcome him as he comes?
Good morning. Could we all stand? Before we read the word, let's just sing a couple more lines of this song Dave is playing. Go ahead, David.
Coming back to heart of worship, and it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made it, when it's all about you, and it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to heart of worship, and it's all about you, and it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made it, and it's all about you, and it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Amen. Well, if we could take a minute here and read the word. I want everybody to read this together in unison. We'll just start here right now. The kingdom. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, we welcome you here in this place today. We ask that your anointing come rest in this house. Lord, take the words that were spoken and the words that are to be spoken. Let it stir our hearts so that we may live different in light of heaven. We ask it all in the supreme name of Jesus, that's above every name. Amen. Welcome. You may be seated. It's nice to have everybody here this morning. I'd like to thank everybody from my wife and I and our daughter for how welcome you've made us feel since we've moved here. All the good things you've done for us. Setting up house, being there for us, praying for us. God's been good. He's opened up doors. Some of the ladies took it upon themselves to pray that Deidre get the job she needed, and the prayer was answered. And Deidre is very thankful for that. Here we have, we've been talking about heaven, Pastor Ken has. We have a whole series that we've been doing. If you're here for the first time, just to bring you up on to speed on things, we talked about how heaven is, the differences in heaven, things that we may see in heaven, and we've talked about many aspects of heaven itself. And last week, we talked about the rewards in heaven and about laying up treasures in heaven. And this week, it's a little different, but we're speaking on how do we live in light of heaven? How do we live in light of heaven? If that's complicated, I'll clarify. How do we live here on earth, knowing that Jesus is coming? How do we live our lives? With this passage of Scripture that we just read, there's many different aspects of it we could follow down and chase down and go off into just small sermonettes through the whole thing. And I've heard several, but I think the message is summed up very simple in just a few statements. It says, I believe it's telling us to be prepared. Jesus is coming again. Heaven is the destination. And are you ready? I think those four little statements sum up that whole passage. Be prepared. Jesus is coming soon. Heaven is our destination. And are you ready to walk through that door? I thought about it this way. I've been thinking about warning signs. You know, the Bible has warning signs. We see warning signs in buildings in different places. And I believe God's word is a warning sign. I think Jesus was the inventor of warning signs. Because here we have one that's clear about our life here on earth and our destination. And you know, like if you look at an electrical panel, you see warning signs, you know, don't stick your hand on this wire, right? So we don't do it. Well, we hope you don't do it, right? We have warning signs when we drive down the highway. You know, the sharp turns, slow down. Some people slow down, some people don't, right? There's a cliff at the end. You know, go to Niagara Falls and there's a warning sign. Don't climb over the railing or you'll fall in. We have warning signs. And in the Scriptures, I think in this passage, it presents a clear warning. And sometimes we take the warnings and sometimes we don't. I'd like to tell you a little story about my life. For you that don't know it, I'm a cowboy. I used to keep a lot of horses and cows, and we used to do a lot of youth work with teenagers, and we were doing a big rodeo with a whole bunch of teenagers, and I had got this new horse, and he was beautiful. He was a black and white paint. I don't know if you know what I mean by that, but a paint horse is just what it says. Has the big blotches on it, you know, about like this. It'd be black and then white. Beautiful. Come from the west. You know, it was supposed to be a cutting horse. You didn't have to use the reins. Like, you could neck rein him, but you could steer him with the insides of your leg. He'd do whatever you said. Well, we had this rodeo, and I had just got him, and so we were doing events with the teenagers, pole bending. I don't know if you ever heard tell that. Probably not. Barrel racing. You guys have heard tell that? Well, it was my turn, so I took off out of the chute, just at a full gallop, right down to the other side, made the spin with a horse. All of a sudden, he exploded. There was no warning that this horse had any bad traits, and he started bucking furiously. And one leg was in the in the stirrup, and the other one was loose. And I was trying to regain my composure while he was bucking me high and carrying on. And I should have probably just, looking back on it now, I should have just went off the horse out in the center where the sand was, but my pride got in the way. You know, there was a whole crowd of people, and what were they going to do? Laugh at me, right? So I decided to cowboy up, hang on the horn, and just try to ride it out. Got down to the other end, and that horse looked like it was going to run right through the fence, and he just turned. He was smart. Threw me right into the fence while he was bucking. And I dislocated this shoulder, broke it. There's a ball on it. It was out. And it was just a mess. It was just a real mess. So I'm saying that is because I wish somebody would have warned me that I was going to get hurt. But nobody warned me. It's kind of like in this passage. It's a warning. Now, on the other hand, one of the local pastors, about 40-minute drive away, he has a little ranch. And he's a cowboy. He was from the States, moved up here, married a girl, pastored a church, had his own little ranch. And he rode bucking horses for a profession for years. So he said, "Oh, Larry," he said, "send that horse down to me." So I warned him. I said to Luke, I said, "Pastor Luke," I said, "he's bad." I said, "you know, look at me." He said, "Ah, don't worry about that. Send that horse down to me." He said, "I can deal with that. I've had stronger bucking horses than that one to deal with. So I warned him, and I warned him a few times. I said, "You know, be careful. I don't want anybody getting killed because of this horse." Anyhow, sent the horse down. He started to go in these big riding corral, and same thing. Took the buck in, slammed him, broke his ribs. He didn't heed my warning. It's a moral to the story, isn't there? When God warns us something, we need to heed to it. If he's telling us to be ready, if he's telling us to keep our lamps burning and shining and to be prepared, we need to do that. It's just part of life. It's just being wise. You know, and it talks about the foolish one and the wise one. And, you know, really, I was the wise one and he was the foolish one. Because I told him he was going to get hurt, but he didn't believe me. Warning signs. Jesus has given us warning signs in this message. Think about it. He's telling us to be prepared. Jesus is coming again. Have a destination. And are you ready? I'd like to just read in Matthew a couple things here about warning signs too. I'll just back up from where we read to 24th chapter. And it says, "When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in the day of Noah. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets, parties, weddings, Blue Jay games, hair salons, golf tournaments, right up to the time that Noah entered the boat." It says that two men will be working together in the field. Two men will be working on the new McDonald's down the road, building. One will be taken, one will be left. Two men will be golfing, one will be taken, one will be left. It says two women will be working in the mill. So two women, they'll be sitting there in the salon getting their nails done. One will be gone, one will be left. Two women will be having coffee at the house. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be working in an office. One will be taken, one will be left. Warning signs. That's a great illustration for us that we need to keep ready. We need to keep the oil of the Holy Spirit strong in us. You know, there's a couple ways that we can do it and that we can be prepared. The Bible says that if we meditate day and night on the word, we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season. We can be strong in the Lord if we meditate. We get alone in our private place and we meditate on the word. I also put down there, spending time in the presence of God daily. It says, but those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like eagles. Thank you, Anka. We need to get in our private place with God every day. That's what this is encouraging us to do. Get alone with God. Spend time, meditate in His Word. Wait upon the Lord. Are we doing that? How much time? This message is not just challenging to you. It's challenging to me. Are we taking that time every day, or are we going, I'll do it tomorrow. I got to go get the tires changed on my car today. I got to do this. I got to do that. Are we really taking that time every day to get alone with God? It seems like sometimes the only time we really press in to that place is when we're in a troubled spot. You ever notice that? When we really get in a troubled spot, we press in, we get alone with God, and we begin to read our Bible more, we begin to pray in the Spirit, we become focused on that to get us through our storms or our challenges. But it's saying that we need to do that consistently. If we don't do it consistently, that door eventually is going to shut. For all of us. There's an appointed time, the Bible says. I'd like to read you something that, to me, I found quite life-changing and really had a profound effect on my life. And when you think about the wise bridesmaid, you think about somebody that kept their lamp burning, kept their light on fire, finished to the end, right? Because we're in a race. This is a marathon. Marathon people don't start out running a marathon. They begin to train. They begin to run. They begin to get their body prepared. So that they can make it to the end. This I want to read to you. This was just to give you a little background. I believe that this person that I'm going to just read a few thoughts about was somebody that kept their lamp shining to the very end. And even though trials came along and hardships and struggles, never lost hope in Jesus, never gave in to the feelings, but continued to get alone, meditate in the Word, and pray. And it's about my mother. I found some of her writings, and I just want to read you a little portion of some of the stuff that she went through and what she did. And she was a prime example to me of a woman that made it to the very end. And this, so I'll back you up a little bit. This was probably 25 years ago or 20 years ago. She struggled. She always had sugar, but she struggled hard, and she got mono that made all of her organs swell up, and it didn't look good for her. Her future, her hope in life was short-lived. And she had, it's funny how she'd been on the ropes a few times and God come through for her. But here's what she had to say. She says, for many months I laid aside, sick. I had no strength, was in pain, weak. Hard to sit in a car, hard to sit up. The devil brought thoughts of fear. It seemed to be a fury of darts one after another. Continuous infections, tests, x-rays, 4 times in the hospital, lost 15 pounds. Every test that I went through, I got out my sword. the Word of God in the morning, in the noon, in the night. I had my Bible near my bed. I would read, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Having done all, stand. Above all, take the shield of faith, where ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." When I was in that state, God gave me a song as I cried out to Him in my desperation lying on the bed. Her song was that she sang, "Let the healing hands of Jesus make you once again like new. Let the healing hands of Jesus take the pain away from you. Let the healing hands of Jesus help you in things you're going through. Let the healing hand of Jesus make you once again like new." I sang the song for months. I laid the Bible on my body, open to Isaiah 53. My brother Art felt to send me a prayer closet or cloth anointed with oil. I wore it day and night. The times of extreme weakness, I'd call my husband, and he'd come and pray. I would receive strength by communicating to God in my prayer language. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength," she says. I told the Lord if He touched me so that I could sing and minister on the piano, I would do whatever He wanted me to do. I would help others with what's left of my life. Her last two statements: what we do for Christ will last. And God still answers prayer. What we do for Christ will last. And God still answers prayer. You know, I think of that. I think there's a mother, there's a woman, there's a bridesmaid that kept her lamp full of oil. She was a wise one. She knew that despite challenges in life that we go through, that all she had to do was get alone with the Word, right? And meditate on it day and night. And to wait upon the Lord, and He would renew her strength. It's very simple, the first part of that. Like I said, it's just being prepared. Jesus is coming again. Heaven is the destination, and are you ready? Are you ready? The second component to this, and if you notice, there's time ticking up there. That is not for me to end in 8 minutes and 26 seconds, if you're wondering what that's going on. That's kind of to just keep in our mind something. Time is ticking. Time is going on. We're a day closer to Jesus comes. We're a day closer to the end of our life, right? Somebody else is a day closer to the end of their life. That's ticking. It's ticking. Time's going on. So, saying that, the Bible says in Matthew that you are the light of the world. So, in light of heaven, how are you living your life? Are you being a light in this world? To be a light, I think we need to allow the attributes of God to shine through us, to be Christ-like in our life. You know, let His attributes shine through. If we do, and we walk into rooms and people say, "Oh, wow, I feel the presence. I feel this person is tender-hearted toward me. This person has compassion toward me. This person is loving. This person's caring." That is allowing the attributes of Christ just to shine through us. So being a light, to be a light, I think we need to be full. If we back up, if we're full of the Spirit, We're full of the oil of the Holy Spirit. We spend our time in the Word. We're more like Jesus. Those attributes start to shine out. They're not looking at me and saying, oh, that's Larry Smith. They're saying, Now, I'm not Jesus, but, okay, but this is the principle. They're looking at me saying, there's something different about this person. This person cares. Where's that coming from? It's Jesus. So being a light in this world, also we need to be able to share our light in this world. The Bible says that we need to go into the whole world, preach the gospel to every creature. And a lot of times we get sidetracked on that. Like we said, there's so many things that challenge us today in our life that we're too busy golfing. And I'm not taking it out on the golfers. And I'm not taking it out on the ladies that get their nails done. I think the ladies that get their nails done and their hair, I think it's great. I think my wife looks beautiful when she gets it done. And when she doesn't. Cover all the bases. But letting our light shine. Sometimes we don't realize that we're letting our light shine and we're being an influence on people. And we are. I had a young guy in my youth group that went through a really tough time. And I met him at a hunting camp with a bunch of other Christian guys. This young guy's family split. His whole world fell apart. And some guys took him there for the weekend. And so I give him a ride out of the woods. We were like way in the middle of nowhere. And so he ended up coming to our youth. And you know, like being a light in his life, I spent a lot of time with Jacob and sharing with him. And to this day, he's a pastor in Sussex, New Brunswick, sharing the word of God. Because if I would not have taken time and allowed my light to shine in his light, you know, he probably wouldn't even be serving the Lord. Especially in the state he was when I met him. And on the flip side to it, we had a young girl in our youth group that Deidre and I poured into. She was almost like a daughter. And one day on the way to university, she went off the road and was killed. And, you know, I think of those two things. I think, I'm glad I took the time. I'm glad we poured into her life because I know where she is. She's in heaven, right? And I would like to think that we have a little part in that. And I'd like to think that we have a part in Jacob's life pastoring. So what we do, sometimes we might think that we're not doing anything with certain people, but we are. Share your light. Show your light to others. I think sometimes we get too scared to share our faith with people. And I think sometimes we just need to get fired up. We get excited when we go to games, and we get excited when we go other places, but we're not excited about being a warrior for Christ. And, you know, I think somehow we need to just concentrate on our times we spend alone with God, and it just builds us up in that secret place. As we get ready to close, I'd like to ask three challenging questions. And I'm not saying this to get spiritual. So we're not going to get spiritual, but we're going to close our eyes for a minute because sometimes you can block out all the distractions, you know, or if you don't want to close your eyes, you don't have to. But I posted a couple things up here. If Jesus posted his return July the 1st, 2014 on the internet, on Facebook, or you're watching CNN, breaking news. Jesus is returning. How would we live our life? would we carry on the same way? Would we do the same things we're doing? I know I wouldn't. If we knew the day that our life was going to end, if I knew that my life was going to end in 13 days, what would I be doing? I don't think I'd be doing the same things that I'm doing today. And three, if we knew the timetable of everybody we come across, if I could look down at you folks and see a time clock ticking over everybody's head, time was rolling, just like I'm down to a minute and 15, 14 seconds. If I could see the time frame when your life was going to end, do you think I would be relentless to share the gospel? Would I be fervent? Yeah. Would I be fervent in my own life if I knew Jesus was coming? I'm telling you, probably the first thing I'd do is fall on my knees and just say, Lord, fix me where I'm short. How can I change my life? I want to be ready. I want to walk through that open door. I don't want it shut behind me. You know? And if I knew my friends, my family, their life was ending, I think I'd be probably dragging them to church, or I'd be cornering them in a place of work, and I'd say, we need to pray. Jesus is coming again. Christ is returning. Heaven is for real. Heaven is for real. It's the destination. I don't know about you folks, but I want to reach that destination. I want to reach that destination. And I hope you don't take this as a condemning type message. I want it to be a challenging message. I want it to be challenging to us that we go home and we examine our life and how we're living, how we're viewing other people, and have a heart for them. You know, God, what do I need to do? Let's just stand. We're going to close. I just want to pray for you. If there's anybody here this morning too that wants special prayer, come to the front. We'll pray with you. If you want to deepen your commitment with the Lord, come to the front and we'll worship and pray with you. But let's just pray. Father, we know you're our Savior today. We know there's hope in heaven. Lord, we know that it's another world to come. And we want to be there with you, Jesus. Stir our hearts today. Challenge us, Lord. Let us leave this place not the way we came. Let us go home and let us not be able to sleep at night. Wake us up, Holy Spirit, in the middle of the night. Stir us. Want us to change our life. Want us to make a stronger commitment to you. Allow us to want to share your gospel and be a light. We ask it in your name, Jesus. As we sing this song, if you want any prayer this morning, you're welcome to come to the front.
I'm coming back to heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for things I made it, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for things are made, and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus.